73 verses 32 to 43. This can be found on page 1060 in the Church Bibles. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." Soldiers also came up to him and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you, Angel, for that. Thank you. I might need them. So I am continuing on a sort of same thing that I've been doing with the last so many all-age services since June, of following Jesus from Galilee down through his journey then into Jerusalem. And last All Age, we looked at Jesus, not so much the celebrating his arrival into Jerusalem, but the impact he had when he went into the temple and turfed all the traders and the moneylenders out of the temple and said, "This is my house, a place of prayer, not a place for a den of thieves." And we see the impact that had on the people around. So as soon as that was happened, Jesus then, people came to him and he healed them and was teaching them about the scriptures. So this is moving on a few days now, and it's carrying on that theme of seeing where Jesus has impacted on certain individuals. And we've seen that through the last little while, where we've seen Jesus changed the life of Zacchaeus. We've seen how he calmed a storm to save his disciples and lots of other people's on the boat, lots of other people in boats. We've seen how he's healed the blind. We've seen how he's healed people who are outcasts with leprosy, and we see the impact Jesus has had on this journey down in Jerusalem. And now we see how Jesus does change and focuses on one man and changes his life. So we see in this story how things have changed quite a lot for Jesus. Just a few days earlier, he was heralded as this great king that was going to rescue the Jews from Roman rule. And people celebrated and waved palms and were really singing his praises as he came into Jerusalem as this new king. And now we see here, I know as we're running up into Christmas, this is a bit of a strange story to do as it's mainly focused around Easter, but we see that Jesus, as his final insult, has been led out to be crucified with other criminals. I suppose you could call them common criminals, but criminals that have done something against Roman rule. So it's really quite a major insult to Jesus that this heralded new king is now being crucified with people who have challenged Roman rule. So it's quite a big a big change has happened here. So while Jesus is on the cross, there are lots of things happening. And he is being, and this is where I have a few more of my pictures, what's going on while Jesus is on the cross? And we will focus on one particular man and the change that Jesus had on his life and on his future right at the very end. And we see how Jesus has been able to change his future, but that same Jesus can change our future as well if we let him. So what's happening? There are four main groups of people who are around Jesus jeering and mocking him. The first ones we see on this picture are the Roman soldiers. They are dividing up his clothes, as it said in the reading, they divided his clothes up as a bit of an insult. So Jesus is lying there in very little, and all his clothes and all his belongings are being divided up between the Roman soldiers. They also put a sign above his head saying, "This is the King of the Jews," really as a final insult. This person heralded it as this great king is now on a cross with just other criminals, worthless. And this is done as a bit of a final insult to Jesus, but also as a warning to anybody else who feels that they can challenge Roman rule. This is what happens to you. So there's that going on. The others we see, groups of people, are passers-by and fellow Jews in Jerusalem for the Passover. And this picture here is showing them, jeering Jesus, insulting Jesus. And these are perhaps the same people who a few days earlier were the ones celebrating him coming into Jerusalem. And we look at Mark, of what it says in Mark's Gospel, uses these words to describe what they say. So they're saying to Jesus, "He claimed he could build the temple in 3 days. Why then can't he come down from the cross? He saved others, why not himself?" So these are things that they're saying to Jesus. They just don't get who Jesus is. We have the gift of hindsight that when Jesus is saying, "I will build the temple in 3 days," we know at Easter what happens in 3 days. So we've got that going on. We've got the Romans dividing up his clothes. We've got people going by and passers-by jeering him and hurling insults at him. He doesn't reply. Then we have the leaders, the Jewish leaders at that time. What are they saying, the teachers of the law and the chief priests? And the word that is used in Luke, that I think Angel emphasised that really well, and it uses the word sneered at him. Now I had a quick look at what is sneer. And it's to show contempt by a look. It is to jeer and to scoff. I thought scoff. My normal phrase of scoff is you eat food rather quickly. So I thought, what would a scoff mean? And that's to jibe, to mock, into insult. So they're insulting Jesus. And this is what they say. "Let this Christ," and these are the words in Mark's Gospel, "let this Christ," they don't say "let the Christ," it's "let this Christ come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Yet again, it's a case of asking Jesus to give them a sign to show them that he really is the Messiah. And yet, how many more signs do they want? You read through all the Gospels and we see where Jesus has healed people, restored people to society, restored outcasts. He's made the lame walk, he's drived out evil spirits, he's calmed storms, he's healed Lazarus and raised him from the dead. There are so many things that Jesus has done that they don't recognise any of the signs of who he is. He is the Christ, not let this Christ, Jesus is the promised Messiah they were looking for. So they're still asking Jesus for a sign. And it's interesting, if you read further on, that when Jesus rises from the dead and shows himself, those same leaders still don't believe he's alive. So no matter what Jesus did, they were not prepared to believe him. And they were blind to any of the signs that Jesus was showing them. And then the fourth person we have in all of this is the criminal to one side of Jesus. One of the criminals is saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Again, still not realizing who Jesus is. He's just thinking Jesus can do something for him. But with all this lot going on, all this noise from the Romans soldiers dividing his clothes, to people going past jeering and insulting him, to the leaders of the time sneering at him and also insulting him, to the prisoner on the cross insulting him, all these things are coming at Jesus. And yet, what does Jesus hear? He hears the noise and he hears what the other criminal says on the other side. And you look at that picture, really, just some of the pain that he must be in and hearing all this and all this is going on. And yet his response, and he hears the prisoner and the criminal next to him. So I'm just going to read, because the exchange between the two is really quite important and quite encouraging. So this is in verse 40. "But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God,' he said, 'since you are under the same sentence, we were punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So just those short few verses, the impact that Jesus has on this one criminal. This criminal realizes who Jesus is. He's not this Christ. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just somebody who's done nothing wrong and unjustly crucified. He is Christ. He recognizes and realizes who Jesus is. The Roman soldiers haven't. The Jews who've been worshipping him and praising him coming into Jerusalem haven't twigged who Jesus really is. The other criminal didn't. The leaders at the time who should know better didn't realize who Jesus is. But this other criminal has. He's realized who Jesus is. And he's asking him for forgiveness of the things he's done wrong. Because he deserves what he's getting. Now, crucifixion was something that the Romans did when anybody challenged their rule. So whatever he did was against the Romans. And he understood what he did, and he knew he deserved what he was getting. But he realized that Jesus had done nothing wrong. For me, I felt there's two lessons I learned from this, and I thought I'd share it, and felt led to share it with you this morning. First lesson is, and we've heard the phrase, "Oh, they got what they deserved." We see that Jesus didn't get what he deserved. He'd done nothing wrong. But we see how he took our place and takes what we deserve to get for the things that we do wrong and the way we are sometimes, and we see it around of what happens in the world today. And yet Jesus took what we deserve and he took it on our behalf. The love that God has for us meant that he sent Jesus to take what we deserve for the wrong things we've done. And it took Jesus, who didn't deserve it, to be on that cross to take what we deserve. It's a real encouragement, isn't it? If we come to Jesus and just say, "Sorry, Jesus, for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. Sorry for things I've said. Sorry for the way I've been." That forgiveness is there through that act of Jesus being on the cross. He has taken those things that we've done and taken them to the cross. He's taken what we deserve on his shoulders. The other lesson we have here as well is what's happened to the criminal. Right at the end of his life, he has acknowledged who Jesus is, and Jesus says to him, Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter how long we've been alive, doesn't matter how long we've got left in our life, there is always time for us to come to Jesus, to come on our knees in some respects and offer and ask for his forgiveness. There's never a time in our lifespan that we cannot come to Jesus. Jesus will hear our cry and will hear it. But this prisoner left it a bit late. And just the importance of knowing our future with Jesus, the sooner we can, the sooner we hear his call and react to it, that we know our future then is secure in Jesus. We know where we're going. It's important that we don't put off Jesus. We don't leave it right to the last minute, because we don't know when our last minute may or may not be. But we know that if we call on Jesus, he will hear us and he will be there for us. So those are two lessons from this morning that we can take from this. With all the noise of the world criticising and jeering and insulting Jesus, he still hears our call when we call to him. So it doesn't matter where you are in your life, what you've done, if you come to Jesus, he can change your future, to the best. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you are in your lifespan, come to Jesus and he will change your future for the best. But sometimes, just thinking, the younger you are, the more you know, the more reassuring it is to know that your future is mapped out with Jesus. And he will take you in places that you would never think you would end up being or doing, but he will be always there if we cry out to him, supporting, caring, loving, helping, surrounding you with that love and care. So whatever you do this morning, just, if you've never had a chance to really know Jesus, perhaps now may be the time to. Maybe the time to call out and see Jesus for who he really is. Not a great not just a great healer, not a great teacher, but Christ's, God's Son in Christ, given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. So for whatever you do this morning, just remember, Jesus is there always if we call on him.